Greetings this evening in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a privilege this evening to worship in the spirit of holiness. Certainly enjoyed those thoughts about the heart, some of the facts about the heart, and also the importance of having relating to our spiritual heart, which I really believe that is what is really the most important. Well, I'm looking forward to worshiping with you this weekend. We've been going a lot, and it would have felt good to stay at home. Sometimes when you commit yourself, you don't know what all is ahead. This will be the third Sunday in a row that I'm not at church at home, so I really ought to be at home. But trust that the Lord can bless us together this weekend, and we can learn together from God's holy word. All right, the subject this evening: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's a poem here. At the crossroads. He stood at the crossroads all alone, the sunrise in his face. He had no thought for the world unknown. He was set for the manly race. But the road stretched east and the road stretched west, and the boy did not know which road was best. So he took the wrong road, and the road went down, and he lost the road and the victor's crown. He was caught at lost in the angry snare, because no one stood at the crossroads there to show him the better road. Another day at the selfsame place, a boy with high hopes stood. He too was set for the manly race. He was seeking the things that were good. But one was there who the road did know, and one that showed him which way to go. So he turned away from the road that went down, and he won the race and the victor's crown. Now, isn't that precious? And this evening, I stand before you as one that I too was at that crossroads one day, and probably all of you were. Sometime you were at those crossroads. And I had the privilege of having someone at that crossroads to tell me which way to go. And I treasure that. I look back at my church life, back at Melita and Lancaster, and the preaching of the word, the gospel that was preached, the revival meetings. There was someone there showing me which way to go. I had parents that I could go to when I was struggling with the things of life. Not always what they said made sense. Not all their values were really my heart. Not all their concerns did I really understand, but they were there to show me the way. Tonight I can give testimony. It's only by the grace of God I can give testimony of treasuring my youth. I can give testimony to having very pleasurable thoughts to the time of my dating and courtship. One time, one of my brother-in-laws, they came to us and he wanted to make an acknowledgement. And he said that he's sorry, but he wanted to know how people date. And so he peeked in the window. We were usually allowed to have an hour where we were allowed to read the word and share together alone. And we did close the door. I don't really recommend that, but we did close the door and we were alone in this room, and he was curious how this dating business goes. And so he looked, he peeked in the window and he looked to see how we would date. And it's only by the grace of God, but I don't care which time that he looked. I don't care which time he looked, because I'm not ashamed of any one of them. And I'd like to say that it's only by the grace of God. And I treasure that today. And to me, that's precious. All right, our theme verse this evening is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read that. And I'm going to use a chapter just before that this evening as we think of molding healthy habits. I think that while there is always a right way to go from here, and tonight, if you can't give the testimony that I shared, I'd like to say that there is always a right way to go from here. If you've messed up your courtship days and you've developed habits that were not God-honoring and God-pleasing, and you've developed habits that were carried on into your marriage that left some scars, I'd like to say there's a right way to go from here. And if you've started to date, after all, I do enjoy preaching to youth. And I wish this church house would be packed with youth. But anyway, I'm satisfied with what's here. But if you've started to date and you've done some things you wish you wouldn't have, and it maybe marred that, there's always a right way to go from here. I'd like to say that is part of the grace of God, that there's always a right way to go from here. And I trust that maybe the message tonight, and maybe the message is coming tomorrow, maybe that we could find some direction on how and the right way to go from here. All right, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I'd like to emphasize that one word there, remember now. And I think that's really the emphasis of this evening is remember now. The habits that you establish, I believe, are going to, they have a way of molding your character. They have a way of setting a stage for your future. The habits that you develop now have a way of doing that. If you're going to live a selfish life in your life as a youth, be assured that you can love that girlfriend as much as you want to, and you can think that everything is going to be rosy from here away, but if you lived a selfish life, it'll carry right on into marriage because it's a habit and because it's something that you experience. You probably heard the thing about how hard it is to get rid of the word habit. You take the H away and you still have a bit. You take the A away and you still have bit. And you take the B away and you still have it. It's hard to get rid of that word habit. And that's how it is in life with habits. But I thank God that can be turned around. And that God is able to, those scars in our life, that God is able to turn those around and actually make them to be a blessing in our life. All right. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now I'm going to back off to chapter 11, and I'm going to actually be focusing on this chapter here this evening as we think of remembering now our Creator in the days of the youth. Here, some time ago, I was studying for a message, and it didn't have anything to do with youth. In fact, it was at a teacher's institute, and I was asked to share a message on this first verse. And in my studies, I came across a very interesting thought. And I'd like to use that thought here this evening. Cast thy bread upon the waters, chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Now, I don't know what you think about when you read that verse, but probably most of you are thinking sowing and reaping. Is that right? You're thinking that whatever you sow, it's going to come back to you after many days. Well, in my studies, it was interesting that this chapter, and you may differ and you can get something else out of it, but that this chapter is actually, when it's talking about casting your bread upon the waters and it's going to come back to you after many days, is really talking about raising rice. And it's not talking about something that what I do now, it's going to come back to me when I'm old grandpa. Now, it does eventually. I mean, it's one of the implications. But rather, this many days is rather short-term things. And raising a crop of rice is anywhere, you have long-season rice and you have short-season rice. But it's anywhere from 100 to 200 days. And so let's say 150 days. We're going to just average it out. 150 days that it takes to raise a crop of rice. Well, I'd like to ask your youth this evening, where do you want to be in 150 days? See, I was going to, where is 150 days from now? See, 30, someone help me quick. About March or April, or where are we at? But somewhere out there. 150 days from now, where do you want to be in 150 days from now? What's your goal? What for crop do you want in 150 days from now? Rice, we don't think about rice like most of the world does. In the encyclopedia, it said that rice is really the staff of life in the world. Rice is one of the world's most important food crops. About half of the people of the world eat the valuable grain as their chief food. It is still that way, that rice. And I've traveled a lot. I've been in India, and I've been in Africa, and I've been in just a number of different places, a lot of third world countries, and Paraguay, and one of the things I can about always depend on that is I'm going to be fed rice. And sometimes it's almost three times a day. That's what you have for breakfast, dinner, and supper, at least in some places. But rice is a valuable grain. So when this scripture was used and they related to rice, they thought different probably than what we often think about, but I'm inspired. And so I had to look in the encyclopedia a little bit about rice. It says people in India and Japan eat an average of a two-third to a pound of rice a day, whereas the average American eats about 7 pounds of rice a year. So, you know, we're not thinking rice like most people are thinking rice. And it said there that still nearly half of the rice is raised and it's done underwater. Now you're with me here tonight. Cast thy seeds, thy rice, upon the water, and it's going to come back to you after 150 days. So think with me in that terms here tonight as we read this chapter. Cast thy bread upon the waters, the thing that you could eat, the thing that you could enjoy, and cast thy bread upon the waters, and then it's going to come back to you in 150 days. And the thing that's interesting about that, well, I'll come to that just a little bit later. Just a few more facts about rice. One seedling or plant produces up to 200 or 300 spigots of grain. The food value of rice. I don't think I'm going to go over all of that. Another thing that's interesting is that rice has a lot of side products, or there's a lot of things that byproducts of rice that are very valuable as well. And so it is in our life. Some of the things, the straw that is used, and it's what man doesn't eat. It's an excellent livestock feed. It's used in making soap. And the hulls of the rice, and that's another interesting thing. They take the hulls of the rice, and then the way that us Americans get that rice, they actually take some of the most important nutrients, and often the rice that we get says in rich rice. And the reason it is because that a lot of the goods are actually taken out of the rice, and then they supplement it by, and that's why they have to call it in rich rice. They use it for straw. They use it to make roofs. They use it to make hats. And I'd like to just say this evening that as young people, Life holds a tremendous amount of potential. If you cast your bread, your commitment to the Lordship of Christ, you cast that upon the waters, and it's going to come back after many days. Another interesting thing about this rice raising business is that you can learn from one time to the other. And if you have a crop failure one time, you can learn from it, and you can turn that thing around and get a bountiful crop. And I believe God wants us to learn from those experiences. And I believe the choices that we make, just like the rice, it can come back to us in many different ways. And it reaches out. Many can be affected, not only for food value, but for many, many other purposes. Another thing that this rice raising thing is that it's not a big splash. Rather, it's 150 days, and maybe it's the next year, or it's the next crop. And it's not a big splash, and yet it's important. Those steps are important. And those things that you are forming habits on, they're important as to finally where you're going to go with that. Now I'd like to read this chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain and empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God shall bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The Greek definition there of the word vanity is that for childhood and youth are a time of transition. And indeed that is, I think, as it relates to youth, it's a time of transition. You're moving from childhood to adulthood. You're moving from a dependence to independence. You're moving from being not responsible for being responsible. Some years ago, there was this young man that he was going to work one morning, and he ran off the road, and hit his pickup in the ditch and hit a tree, and he wasn't able to go. And so he didn't have a cell phone with him, but through some maneuvering around, he finally got a hold of his dad, and his dad called the police, and so his dad came over to the scene there where he ran off the road, and both the dad and this boy, they were there at the truck when the police finally arrived. And so when the police arrived, the daddy walked up to the police and wanted to explain everything, how everything went. And then the police said, "Were you driving?" And he said, "No." "Well, who was driving?" "Well, it was him." "Then I need to talk to him." That's the time of transition. You are moving to where it is no longer daddy and mama's rice field. It is your rice field. And you are responsible what happens in that rice field. Yes, I know that doesn't come all at once, but youth is a transition to where finally you can no longer hang on daddy and mama's shirt tails or dress tails, but you are responsible for what you do with your life. And that you're going to have to give an account for your life. And how this rice paddy turns out is really up to you. And I don't want to bring you to that point before your time is, but I think youth, I think that's what this is saying, that childhood and youth are vanity, because it's a time of transition. It's a time of moving on. There's several interesting things in this chapter. I'd just like to think about that just a little bit here. We talked a little about the sowing and reaping thing. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And we believe in that. I was reading a book here some time ago about the problems that married couples face. And this writer, John Koblenz, in his book, he referred to the fact that many of those, especially once it comes to intimate type relationships, or once it comes to even relationships and how that they relate together, that it really goes back to how disciplined they were in their youth. And I know that can be overemphasized, but I believe there's a lot of truth to that, that I believe you're going to find that after many days. And then the next series says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. One of the things about life and about youth is is life predictable? Can you predict where you're going to get to? I don't know if your wife would have known that you're going to someday be a bishop when you married. I don't know if it has scared her or not. But is life predictable? And that's when I look back at my own life, and I asked my wife already, if you'd have known everything, would you have married me? Well, she said, yes, I still would have married you, but it would have been scary to know where that's going to all get to. There's couples, my peers. They got married. A few of them had special children. And they didn't know those things before. Is life predictable? Some of them are ordained. Some of them are in the mission field. Some of them are not where they want to be. They've lost their way spiritually. I have a friend that he got married to a divorced woman and that was in the same youth group that I was. Got married to a divorced woman, and here several years ago they were on a motorcycle ride and they both lost their lives. Sad story. Is life predictable? Some are rich, some are poor. When I look back, I have to think, is life predictable? It says, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, youth, doesn't that get a little scary? You don't really know what's ahead of you. But I'd like to say, life is predictable. There's a level of life that is predictable. And that's what this chapter here, I think, is really telling us. There is a level of life that is predictable, and I'd like to refer to that. To me, I get so inspired by some of my friends that are now on the mission field. They come back. They have a testimony. Some of them have had very tragic experiences. Maybe it was a loss of material things. But there's something about their life that's predictable because they have their anchor in Jesus Christ. And I can predict that almost whatever those people face, they're going to come out right. Maybe it is a special child. Maybe it is the loss of one of their children through death. I had a young man that was in the, he was with me in youth. My wife and I spent quite a bit of time together with this young couple. And he was ordained bishop just a little before I was. And a year and a half after he was ordained bishop, he was on his way to the church house and he had a heart attack and died as a 36-year-old man, I think it was. But this woman, his widow, there's something predictable about her. She was solid. She had her anchor in Jesus Christ. And she's still moving forward. She has faithful children. And Now her own son, which was just a little boy when the father passed away, just recently at preordination meetings, and her son was ordained to the work of the ministry. There's predictability when we have our anchor in Jesus Christ. Yes, these other things may not be predictable, but there's a predictability. When we get our focus on Jesus Christ, and as youth, we get anchored. And that's what I'd like to encourage here tonight, is that we get anchored in Jesus Christ. Another thing is that Jesus, or the Lord, orchestrates our life. As God's people, the Lord orchestrates our life. In verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. The Lord orchestrates our life. And I don't know how I ever got to where I'm at, but there was those little details. It was that phone call, won't you come and teach school for us? Oh my, teach school? Me? A farmer boy? Me teach school? Oh yeah, sure. Well, it was 2 hours away, but teach school, prayed about it, and sought the Lord, and I ended up in McVeightown. And then the Lord just orchestrates. And he plans. After a while, was ordained, and I don't know how all that happened either, but there was just a planning. The church house was full, and we needed to reach out, and I remember telling the preachers that we had just bought a farm, and no, I said I don't really think that we ought to move. And but the bishop thought that all the ministry ought to be available, that none of us ought to have the say. And so the ministry went through the lot. And then the second time it went around, I was voted in. I didn't even go through the lot. And I was chosen to go with the outreach. And here we are. The Lord orchestrates our life. The Lord plans our life. That can be a comfort. That can be a strength, that the Lord is going to plan your life. It's a very beautiful thing. But how do we come to reach or to come to that level of relationship with God, that he's going to do that for us? That he's going to orchestrate and plan our lives, and as we trust in him. Fourthly, I'm not sure where we're at. Raising rice is not an easy job. Rather, it's a muddy job. And Jacob said that few and evil. He looked back and he said, I didn't even get, I think it was 120, 130 years or something like that. It's found there in Genesis 47:9. And he said how old he got. And he said, I didn't reach the years of my forebears. And he said, few and evil have been the days of my life. And I'm 55 years old, and I look back, and the Lord has been very, very good to me, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly. But, you know, what does life really have? Would I want to go back and be in my 20s and 30s? I don't know about you, but not me. I would not want to go back there. I'd rather go on. Too close home. I would not want to go back there, even though the Lord has been good to us. I believe to walk with God is a best step. Now I'd like to think a little bit about a couple pointers here in relation to raising this rice. First thing is, you're going to have your rice paddy. And you're going to have to be responsible. I'd like to say that to be responsible is that you choose that you're not going to be a liability to the church anymore. You're not going to be a liability to your parents. You're not going to depend on them, and you're not going to show them a hard time. That's a little rough on youth, isn't it? But I like to say, if you want a good rice paddy, you need to take responsibility. And responsibility is that you're going to be answerable. You're going to be willing to, you're not going to want to hide things. You're going to take responsibility for that thing. I believe the most important thing is a surrender and a commitment to the Lordship of Christ. Youth is the best time to do that. A statistic that I picked up, and I don't know the accuracy of this, 90% of the Christians decide to follow Christ before the age 25. And I think it's a good time, because somehow it seems like the hardening of the arteries has something about the hardening of the heart. And I believe that there's a lot to be said for youth that choose in their youth to serve the Lord. Make it your goal to be a productive person. Stewardship in Matthew chapter 25 addresses four areas. One is responsibility. The second one is accountability. The servant gave to all those, and he said, now I gave you one, and I gave you two, and I gave you five, and I'm going to leave. So he was responsible for that. Secondly, they needed to be accountable. And we know that accountability was true, because when he came back and he said, I've given you one, and yes, you gave me one, you gave me two, and I've gained two more. That's accountability. Don't be afraid of accountability in your life. Accountability for youth is, youth that are accountable are usually a tremendous blessing in the church. Don't be afraid to say where you go or what you did with your money or who your friends are. It's an accountability. Accountability is actually a way of life for God's people. We can try to dodge it if we want to, but accountability sets a mentality, because someday we're going to be accountable to God, aren't we? So accountability ought to really be a way of life. But I believe it's one of the ways that you can be responsible for your rice paddy. Another thing is being productive. He was given two, and he gained two more. That's productivity. Don't be a parasite in the church. Don't be a parasite in your home. Parasite eats off of the inside. But rather choose to be a productive person in your life. In Jeremiah 4, 3 and 4, it says, break up your fallow ground. And usually, and I found a lot of different ways that people raise rice, and maybe you know a lot more. I'm just going by what I learned, so I don't know anything much about raising rice. I was in Costa Rica here some time ago, and there they raise what they call the dry rice. It does take a lot of moisture, but they don't cover it with water. But one of the things they do in raising rice is they need to get in there and plow that ground up. And they do everything they can to get rid of all the weeds. They plow those weeds under, and they take care of them. And if you have sin in your life, get rid of it. Get rid of it. That rice paddy doesn't need any weeds. Get rid of them. You might have to put a herbicide on or whatever you need to do, but somehow get rid of those weeds in your life. Have the thorns and the thistles plowed under. Actually, if you look at your godly parents, they've taught you how to get that ready, and you can follow their example. In Psalm 78, it says, our fathers have told us. Another important thing is add fertilizer to your rice paddy. And it takes a lot of phosphorus and nitrogen, and sometimes there is some expense that goes with that. But don't be afraid to put those fertilizers on. There'd be a lot of things that we could look at fertilizers. It could be your private devotions. It could be just in your meditations. It could be a lot of those type of things. But add that nitrogen and that phosphorus to your rice paddy. After that, after the thing is all ready, then you flood your rice paddy with water. About 4 inches above the ground, you have that thing there. Next, you have your bag of seeds. And that bag of seeds is the very thing that would nourish you. It would be the very thing that would feed you. It would be the very thing that you could use. And it'd be the very thing that you could selfishly bring to yourself. But I believe sacrifice is a key to setting values. and it's a key to setting habits in your life. And there's a lot of things that youth wonder sometimes what they can do. But I believe it can start in the home. Just that mentality of sacrifice. Being willing to go the second mile. Sharing. Helping without pay. Maybe it's a time of service somewhere. The very thing that you could selfishly use, is it time? Or is it material possessions? Your gifts you could hoard to yourself? Maybe it's sewing, or maybe it's doing carpenter work. Be willing to just have that sharing mentality. The prodigal son, that's what he did. He went and gathered those all things to himself, and he just hoarded them to himself, and he used them, but he ended up in the pig pen because after a while he didn't have anything what was left. I believe that what you are doing here, what all is in that bag of seeds? You know, sometimes there's some foreign seeds in there. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's some of those things that you really don't want to. But what do you want in 150 days from now? What do you want to experience in your, let's say, maybe, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands for those that are dating, but what do you want in 150 days from now? Or maybe you're thinking about asking a girl, what do you want in 150 days from now? Well, will you think about that? If you have trash in your life, it's liable to show its face. It's liable to come up. So make sure that bag of seeds is what it ought to be. And remember, it is a dirty job to get out there and to sow that. But, you know, in Lamentations 3, verse 27, it says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I usually tell my children that when they get to the age 21 and I think there's more to life than just making money. I think they can do service or they can be accountable to someone or to do something. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Establish goals. What do you want for your life? Do you know how to spread those seeds? Do you know how to take care of those things? Well, if you don't, ask. I believe that there's another key factor to molding proper habits in your life is being willing to ask. That goes on even for us when we're older. And I believe those habits go right on into middle age. I think the message tomorrow morning has more to directed toward middle age. But it goes on. Ask. And then after that, those things are seeded, and I don't know if I wrote down here how long it takes until it comes up through that water. And then some of the things that after that rice comes up and greens, and it looks more like a grass in that water. And then they go through that thing, and there's constantly enemies that are trying to destroy that rice paddy. It can be molds and bugs, and another thing they look for is weeds. They're out there looking for weeds, and if there's weeds, they got to pull them, or those weeds will take over. Another thing that they look for is maybe they, when they were spreading the seed, it got too thick over here, and that can happen too. Sometimes a good thing is overdone, and learn to use moderation in your life. And moderation. I was just talking with a youth here just today. He called and wanted some counsel. And he's in service now. And he wants to do this. I think he had about three things. And I said, you're galloping. I said, slow down. I don't gallop. And that's what I mean. Sometimes we get so obsessed with getting into all these things, and especially youth can get that way, to where they get so obsessed with, they want to go here, they want to go there, they want to do this, they want to do that. And parents, I mean, it almost like it's almost like a slippery rope. It just, you hardly can hang on anymore. I'd say, I'd like to say, slow down. And some of those, yes, it's rice and it's good stuff, but too much is going to be a hindrance rather than a blessing. You get so involved spiritually that you're no earthly good. I'm talking about moderation. And I think youth is a good time to learn that moderation. And I think mom and dad are probably one of the best ones to help us with. At least my parents were. I remember being out making fence with my dad one time, and I wanted to go do a service, and dad thought I was too young. And I really wanted to serve the Lord. I really wanted to get into things, and I really wanted to get out there where you can make a splash in life. And dad just said, slow down, slow down. You don't need to do all these things. It'll come. And you know, after a bit, there was so much work that I hardly, and I'm still there, there's so much work all around me. And my wife tries to tell me to slow down. In fact, she felt bad that she didn't come along tonight, but we've been gone so much, and she said, come with me tomorrow. Well, sometimes we have to pull some of the extra stuff. Moderation, I believe, is an important thing that we need to learn. Maturity. I think maturity is something to where we just simply level out, and we let that. And that's part of that rice coming up out of that water that I believe is important. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. It is coming to the place to where you can start hearing what others say. They look at your rice paddy, it's no longer under the water, but rather it's starting to show itself. And sometimes the ministers will come along and say, you know, this is a little too thick here, or there's too many weeds over here. And I think it's a good time to let others help us and to let others judge us. I think maybe it's our clothes, or maybe it's our hair, or maybe it's the places we want to go. There's people that we just need help. And I'm still there that I need help. But I think youth, it's a wonderful time when that rice comes through there, and others are starting to see that they're starting to see fruits out of your life. And if someone taps you on the shoulder, you just say okay. And so that your rice paddy can be productive. Remember that what you feed grows. There's a certain level, I think, of what you need to be doing that. There's a lot of enemies. It's, I talked about molds and so on, the birds. There's a lot of things that they need to be fighting against. I see my time slipping away, but courtship, I think, is a very beautiful time in life. I look back, and I treasure those times while this thing was growing and it was maturing, and it was a blessing to me. I thought it seemed like my parents were being blessed, and her parents were being blessed, and hey, the rice paddy was growing. Do you have the approval of your parents? Allow your courtship to be pure. I'm one that believes in a hands-off courtship. I don't know how you teach here. But I believe that the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. I believe that. I believe that there's a lot of things that go with growing in our lives together. Secret sins are, I believe, a hindrance. 150 days later, the journey of life is progressive. And there's reapings. Do your plants. 150 days later, as you look back, maybe 150 days from the time, are you satisfied with your life? Here recently we had in our we had council meeting, and And that time for council meeting, we had all the families come and just share their testimonies on an individual level. And one of the things that was very inspiring to me, especially a number of youth that said that when they look back the last 6 months, they just feel like the Lord has touched their life and they've been growing in their Christian life. Was it anything massive? Was it anything great? Probably not, but they were growing. You're going to have to harvest the crop, regardless of what it is. You're going to have to harvest the crop. Physically, in the rice paddy, you may not need to, but in this paddy, you're going to have to reap it. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. The experiences of life give us reference points, and allow that to happen in your rice-raising experience. Allow reference points in your life that you can point. This has worked, that has not worked. And allow reference points in your life. Treasure and thank God for the work that He's doing in your life. Repent of wrong, I believe, is important. Remember, there's always a right way to go from here. I'd like to just close with that verse again. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Let's kneel for prayer.